Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Hello, everybody. Hey, be patient with me. I am working with this Facebook Live and trying to get it up running again. There. It was sideways. See, Mike always does this, so now it's me doing it. So, you know what? We got all these
sideways,
weird things going
Mike
on.
Whoops.
Okay, where are we coming through here? Okay, it's okay. Hey, we are going to have fun today, though it's going to be extremely serious, okay? When you got just me here without Mike, it's like, oh my, I don't know how to do this technical end of it. And when I came up sideways, I just decided I am turning the camera. It looked right when I was looking at it. I guess I should have asked him how to do that part. So we are glad that you joined us today. Hey, I have two guests in the studio. Mike is at a pastor's lunch today. And I have Susie Spoolstra-Kelly and I have Capri Walsh in with me today. I have been wanting Susie to share her story with you guys for a very long time, but we had a court case going, so we needed to wait until this court case was over, okay, so that there was no problems of anything that you said, you know, on here. So folks, we're going to have her share now. You may want to grab your Kleenex ahead of time. This is going to be part of our testimony series. As you know, if you go up to Look Up to Eagle, no, don't look up to Eagle, lookuptojesus.com, lookuptojesus.com, and you look for our messages, you will see there's a category under testimonies. And these testimonies we share with you, as I was just telling Susie, we're not doing this so you'll feel sorry for us. We shared these testimonies because we want those of you out there to know that when you go through tragedy, God is still in control. That doesn't mean he gave up on you. That doesn't mean he's not in the circumstances and he doesn't want to use them. Too many people, when things don't go their way, they blame God. And you know what? Somebody out there listening to this sooner or later, you are relating exactly to what I'm saying. So do not hang up. Do not get rid of this. Do not quit watching. You need to hear that even though bad things happen, tragedies happen, we can give God all the glory. He can use all of it for his glory. So what I want to do, I don't want to tell Susie's story. I'm going to let her tell it in her order how she wants to with this. So folks, I want to introduce you to Susie now.
Hi, and thank you so much for having me on your program. It has been a long time coming. And there is part of me that's grateful that I'm finally at this moment where I can share my story. I will just begin by saying my son Zachary was killed by a drunk driver May 6th of last year. So we just had the year heavenversary this week. He is my firstborn child. Just a precious, big, beautiful, handsome boy that he is now, even more in heaven. But I wanted to just share a couple of things that happened before this catastrophic incident happened in my life, because I feel like it's really important how God prepares you for things that are happening when you don't realize that he's preparing you for them to happen. So November before the accident, my son was in a little bit of trouble, made some decisions that were not the best. He was arrested. And as a mom, you know, when we raise our children, we hope and pray that they will do everything that we've taught them to do. And God promises that when you train up your child in the way they should go, that they'll not depart from it. He did for a short time. But it broke my heart because I just, as a mom, seeing him suffer and watching him go through consequences, it shattered me. And to tell him, no, son, I can't bail you out of jail, it was heartbreaking for me. And I'll explain in just a little bit how that pertains to the end of the story.
Okay.
So, but I had this push inside of me to constantly remind him of how much I love him, how I would never give up on him, how Jesus loved him, and that all he had to do was turn to him and he would forgive him. So I just would tell him that every time I talked to him on the phone. I love you. I'll never disown you. I will never, you know, I just needed to profess that to him every single time. So that was the November, 3 days before the accident. And that week before, I just had a couple of things. My daughter was graduating from Northwest Nazarene University. He and his sister were having some significant sibling rivalry issues. And I just kept pushing them to, I'm like, Zach, you need to come to your sister's graduation. Michaela, you need to let Zach come. No, I don't want Zach to come. You know, there was just that whole, and I just felt this drive inside me to push that to happen. And 3 days before the accident, he'd gone through a breakup and wanted to not be here anymore. And so much so that the girlfriend called the police. We went over there and I just remember talking to him, telling him how devastated I would be if he wasn't here anymore. And so then he came to the graduation party. That was May 5th of last year. He and his sister had an opportunity to make up. We had a beautiful day together.
Oh, no, this is May 5th.
This is May 5th. Oh, so now man. We're three. So this is the day before the accident.
The day before. Oh, wow. Okay.
So he came to the graduation. He had gone partying the night before. I said, you need to get dressed. We're coming to pick you up. His car wasn't working. His motorcycle wasn't working that day before. And so anyways, he came to the graduation and we had a great day together. We had food. He loved to eat. He liked to work out and he loved to eat. We had a beautiful day together and he and his sister had an opportunity to make up that night. I had gone to see him. So I guess what I'm trying to say is God was preparing me, even though I didn't know he was preparing me for what was about to happen.
Yeah.
And was reconciling a relationship.
Reconciling everything.
That
yeah.
would have been so much harder on my daughter after the accident. I stopped by Zach's house about 7 o'clock that night and I don't know what it was. And I just remember at the time thinking he looked so beautiful. It was just like the sun was just shining on him. And I just said, gave him a hug and I said, I love you. And he said, I love you, Mama. I'll be okay. I'm just going to hang out with some friends and I'll be okay. And I said, okay, I love you. And that was the last time I was able to speak to my son. So then the next morning, I guess I forgot to preface that 2 weeks prior, I'd had an emergency surgery and been in the hospital a week. And so I was recovering and very exhausted. So we didn't go to church that next morning. I felt like I needed to sleep. And I woke up at 6:38, not really, and I know this might sound funny, but I woke up and didn't really realize why I woke up at that time, got coffee, came back to bed. Later I realized that was the moment that he went to heaven.
Okay.
But at 9:30, we get a knock on the door, and my youngest son opens the door and it was a police officer and my heart just...
Yeah, I know that
one. Just sank. Yeah. And I went out there and... you know, that was, the officer told me that my son had been killed by a drunk driver. And I just, you know, I fell apart. You know, I can't explain the feelings, you know, I know that you understand. Many out there who...
Why do we go out there? Instead of bring them in, why do we go out on the porch? I did the same thing.
I don't know. Yeah. It's like you want to run away, but you know, you can't run away. Yeah. And you just don't know what to do with yourself. And my husband immediately started making phone calls and calling family and close friends, letting them know. And it was just a fog, but I just felt, I never once blamed the Lord. I know that Capri could attest that I haven't ever been mad at the Lord. I know that that's a normal feeling that people can be and there's nothing wrong with that. God knows how we feel. I know that the Lord took him home. The part that I grappled with and I struggled with was wanting to know details. As a mom, we want to know how our babies were and did they hurt and did they suffer and what happened and did he say anything and was he helped and all of these questions that I had in my mind, some of which I couldn't know because there was a court case. He was 24, So there's HIPAA. I can't just go to the hospital and ask questions. They're not going to give them to me.
No, they're not, are they?
I tried. I tried to open every door because I wanted to know every single detail. But in my mind, I was really struggling with the visions of the accident and what had happened and how he had suffered. But the Lord didn't want me to know those things.
Yeah.
So even at the funeral home, he was injured so catastrophically that I wasn't able to view him.
Okay.
Either.
Yes.
So that was very hard for me. But during that time, the Lord was just flooding me with messages and people just coming alongside and praying for me. And I felt broken and shattered, like I still do, but I also felt like I was strong in the Lord. Like I had this, I want something good to come out of my son's death. I never felt angry towards the person who did it. I just had questions. I'm like, he's the only one that was there with my child. I just had questions. I still am not angry with him.
And a lot of people don't understand that. Mm-mm. A lot of people want an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, you know, a life for a life. But you didn't go there at all.
No, I didn't go there. I still don't feel like going there. So and I'll explain that in a minute. But just there was little signs that the Lord would give me, and little hearts. And I know this may seem really cheesy, but little hearts in the sky, heart rocks. I mean, I just would see hearts everywhere. And
You're not the only one that collects those. I've seen other people do that.
Yes, I know. And one of the ladies at my church just came alongside and said, you know, Susie, those are really great, but that's also the Lord being merciful to you and showing you that he is with you. And it was always at the time where my heart was really hurting or I was going to be doing something extremely hard that I would find these things and these. And it's like, okay, Jesus, you're with me. And I know that I can get through this moment when it seems like you can't get through a moment. I remember getting the coroner's report, again, those facts that I wanted to know in the mail, and I couldn't open it.
Haven't opened it?
No.
No. Okay, folks, that is something that I really ended up, let's get rid of this there, that I ended up with making the mistake myself of them sending me the coroner's report. My daughter was a suicide, but I basically didn't have too much of a picture, though we did have to go to the house, the room she was renting. We had to go the first time before they cleaned up some, but we just needed to grab what was important, the most important things. And then they had to clean everything up. Then we had to move her out. And, you know, when you go back, then there's the hole in the wall they took where the bullet went in, you know. The carpet cut out from under the bed. The whole bed was gone.
Oh.
The part that had blood on it, you know. And so you get a little bit of a picture. But when they explain things in a coroner's report and measurements and, you know, I didn't need to read that. And I was one of the people that told you,
don't do it.
Don't do it. You really don't want to do it. That's not the picture that you want to have. So
no.
Go ahead. And anybody out there, if you're thinking, you know, something like this happens, you don't really need to see the coroner's report. It's not going to change anything, except for it could give you haunting visions in your head that you don't want to see. It's not the way you want to remember your loved one. So
no. And I too had a brother that committed suicide, and I do I know how that feels from a sibling point of view, as far as that goes. No, Capri actually read it for me, and it helped some, because after the court, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, there were some details given in the court proceedings that really, really, really hurt my heart. And she just said, Susie, he was gone, even though because the accident happened at 3:30 in the morning. I didn't know till like a month after. I didn't notice. I couldn't see. It was like my eyes were blinded to it. I looked at the death certificate, I don't know how many times, because I had to give it for certain things, and didn't notice that he was still alive for that long. And I just was like, I felt cheated for a while that I didn't get to go be with my son.
Oh, okay.
You know, that nobody had called me and this and that. And, you know, Capri did read it for me. And she said, Susie, I just have to believe when he hit that car, he was with Jesus. Right when yeah. that happened, he went home with to be with the Lord. And I okay. have to choose by faith to believe that. Mm-hmm. Because if I don't, then I'm not really following the promises of God, because God says to be absent from the body is to be present yeah. with the Lord. And I believe that he is with Jesus. And I'm choosing to not look at those, you know, taking those thoughts captive, not to think about those memories yeah. that of that.
You can't think back of the what if. What if I knew earlier I could have ran down there?
Right.
No, right. not. I mean, especially they can keep people on life support. They can right. keep a body going. Doesn't right. mean the person's there.
Right. And so those were taken from me. And there was a short period of time. I don't think it was a long time, but I felt like, why didn't I get that? I didn't get that. But, you know, my journey's different and it's different for a reason. And I decided from the very beginning I wanted God to get the glory, because that's what Zach would want. Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus wants most of all, is for him to get the glory of how I move through this journey and get up and go to work every day and try to encourage people.
Yes.
Another little sign, just one of my friend's daughters told me to go outside. She's really cute. She's just a teenager, but she's chosen to really love me. And she said, Susie, go outside and look at the sky. And, you know, because she knows I like to see the hearts. And I'm like, okay, it's black. I don't see anything. And I'm like, okay, I'm outside. And go back in the house. She said, Susie, go back outside, like 20 minutes later. Well, I turned around and the clouds had separated over my house. They looked like angel wings. And aww. It was, and I was really, and again, it was at a time where I was really yeah. having a hard day and I was really heartbroken and having to do, you know, when you go through court proceedings, every time I had to go to court, it was like ripping off the Band-Aid, and it was right in my face. And I wasn't angry with the person who did this. I was hurt. It mm-hmm. just hurt me to see, because he was the last one to see my son.
Yeah.
So that's what, and one of the scriptures that the Lord.
Does he remember seeing him?
Yes.
He does. Okay. Okay,
he remembers seeing him, and he didn't go try to help him. That was probably the hardest part. So if I was going to be angry, and I wasn't, but I didn't find out until the
yeah.
till the day before the sentencing, which was just 2 weeks ago.
Yes,
That he didn't, because in my statement, I wrote a victim impact statement. Those are the questions I had for him. Did you do this? Did you go hold his hand? Did you pray for him? Did he say anything? Did he, you know, all of these things that a mom wants to know, because yeah. he was still my baby, even though he was 24. I carried, you know, he was my child.
I yes. mean,
they're always our babies.
Oh, yes, they are.
But the scripture the Lord would constantly give me is he's near to the brokenhearted and rescues those who are crushed in spirit. And it's true. He would come near me. And to go back to the coroner's report, when I got that, I just sat there and I cried. And I just went in my closet and sat down and was just crying and crying and crying. And I literally felt like I couldn't get up
yeah.
off the floor. And I just prayed and just, Jesus, help me get up, because I can't get up. And yeah. he does. And he helps us do that. I mean, he helped me go to every court date. He helps me be at work and be present. I mean, those things sometimes may sound really little, but they're huge when your heart is shattered and your world seems like, and I had 4 surgeries total. So I had the first one and then I had 3 more.
Oh my.
Due okay. to the grieving and the crying and whatnot. But I also wanted to talk about knowing God's sovereignty and versus my shattered heart. It's okay to have both.
You
know, I know that, you know, in Psalms 139, it says he knew Zach was going to go home. No matter how he went home, whether it was this way or that way, that was Zach's time to go home. For whatever reason, I don't know. But it's
we also, wouldn't have chose that.
No, but, we wouldn't know, have chose it.
We were never given a vote.
No. But it's still okay for my heart to be broken,
yes.
you know, and be shattered. So those are both okay to have. And once I kind of got through that, I'm like, well, I want to believe the Lord, because I do, but my heart is so broken. And, you know, you have some people who don't know how to respond to or what to say.
Yeah.
Well, he's in heaven. Aren't you happy? Well, of course I'm happy he's in heaven, but I'm also brokenhearted because I lost my child. So it's okay to feel both of those things. I also got in the mail from Mothers Against Drunk Driving. I remember I got the first letter and I looked at it and I just thought, I can't even open that thing.
Mm, yeah.
You know, I just don't want to be a part of that group of people. I don't want to be a part of that group. Got the second one. I'm like, okay, didn't open that one either. So finally I got the third one, and I thought, okay, after that, I think it was four or five months after, I believe, that I got the third letter, and I finally opened it, and I contacted Medan is her name, and she is a wonderful, she was a wonderful, caring, compassionate lady for me to contact, you know, being able to talk to other moms that have gone through similar circumstances. So preparing for all the court dates. So this took quite a few months. So the Lord kept speaking mercy. And so I just would have my iPad, and I, cause I write messy and I can't read my writing. So I just, but I can type really fast. So I'd take my iPad everywhere. I need to prepare for this victim impact statement. I wanted the Lord to be glorified from what would go on in that courtroom, because it's a platform that I never wanted to be on. However, I was there, and I wanted him to use me in whatever way that I could. And I really had compassion for this man, and don't know if he knows the Lord, but I want him to.
How did your friends feel about that, family? How did they feel about that you weren't as angry as could be at this guy?
Some were confused. Most of the people that really know me understood, because that's, you know, just the people that knew me understood that. I was a little afraid of, you know, maybe how my daughter would feel, because my kids are angry.
Okay.
You know, they're more angry about it. And that's okay for them. They need to go through that and figure out how the Lord's going to help them in their way. But through that, after my daughter listened to my statement, and she was talking to me about something else, and she said, "Mom, they just don't know how forgiving you are." You know, it was a compliment. So the Lord used that, where I was a little apprehensive. I'm like, oh gosh, I hope my daughter isn't mad about this. But, you know, there's people, you know, my husband was angrier, you know. I'm not angry at him. I'm more propelled, I would think, to want to bring some sort of change in the system to where people are held more accountable for their actions, is more how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily towards this man. God wanted him to have, and I'll get to that, because we haven't gotten to that yet.
We haven't got to that yet. Haven't got through you having to go through. How many trials did you have to go through?
How many? Well, there was no trial, so to speak, but court dates.
Court dates.
There was probably seven.
Oh, wow.
Seven different times. He wanted a trial. He said he wasn't guilty. There was three cameras, unfortunately, that caught the whole, and I won't watch those. It was video. It was videoed in three different places. I do have to drive by where it happened almost every day. So, you know, God helps me to have anesthetized that a little bit, so I can get to work and function. And, you know, I'm not paralyzed by it. It's just something I might take a different route if I can. But so we went through mediation. So finally he was going to go to trial, changed his mind, figured he wasn't going to, that wouldn't be good for him. So we mediated. We were in the courtroom about 5 hours, 4 to 5 hours, mediated a 3.5 year fixed sentence, 8.5 years probation. None of that felt good to me.
Yeah.
I mean, none of it felt good. I felt, so this is where the compassion comes in. And this is why I kind of introduced, you know, my son being, I believe the Lord took me through watching my own child get in trouble so that I could have compassion on this man.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know how it feels. I mean, that very well could have been my own son up there that had made a choice. And I'm glad, I'm certainly glad it wasn't. I wish he was here.
Yeah.
I mean, but it gave me compassion for this man that, and I believe that's, I mean, I believe with all my heart, that's why the Lord took me through that first, to understand what it feels like to be in that position where somebody's facing a huge, potentially a huge consequence for their actions. So preparing for it. So we went through the mediation, thought it was a done deal. We just had to wait for the sentencing. So that happened in January. The sentencing was moved until April 24th, which was just, like I said,
just getting too close to the date, right?
And it was a very long day. And in the end, we waited, the judge took us back, wanted to give him a lesser sentence, than what was mediated upon. So he only had a choice for the sentencing. He could choose a rider, which is basically a year in a like a rehabilitation type of program where okay. he's eligible for parole in six or probation in 6 months, or the 3.5 years fixed. And he wanted to lessen the sentence. It was before he heard any of our statements. Okay. And I said, he hasn't even seen our family. He hasn't, you know, there was a courtroom full of people to support Zach and myself and my children. And I just, and I had prayed and the Lord had said, you know, whatever it is what I want. You know, whatever happens is what I want. And ultimately, the end of that sentence, and I feel like I'm getting to the end of the story, which is not really the end of the story, but...
it's okay. We always go back and we hop all over the place yeah. here, so...
The Lord had mercy on him. You know, that's all I can say. Do people think it's just? How do you justify what is okay for killing a person? You can't really, only the Lord knows his heart.
Yeah.
So he ended up only getting, the judge picked the rider. So he's going to be out in 180 days on probation. So to a lot of people, that's, it's not justice.
It's unjust.
It's unjust. So my propulsion is what I said is to, try to get, what's a deterrent for somebody else to get in their car and do the same thing? There isn't, you know, what consequence? I mean, it's just like, how do I discipline my child? My 17 year old, now 18 year old for doing this. I grounded him from his truck for 2 months.
Yeah.
And this person gets 6 months for killing his brother. There's no leverage for that. So
are you okay with this?
None of it feels good. Honestly, okay. I was very emotional when I heard the consequences that he was going to get because I think it's because I imagined it being my own son.
Yes.
No, I'm not okay with it, but I have to be okay with it. Does that make sense? God's given me the grace to be okay with it in that way. But I don't think that our system is okay. And okay. I don't think, if that makes sense. I think that there needs to be an appropriate consequence if you do this and this happens. And I don't want to stop telling my son's story. I don't want to stop telling my story. I love that the Lord has mercy on those that don't deserve it. I mean, we don't deserve it. You know, you know, when he was on the cross, I mean, I thought, you know, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, we don't deserve that either.
Yeah.
But God had mercy on him. So, so that's the picture that the Lord gave me when I was writing all of this. And it took me probably 3 months to write my statement, and I just had it in pieces.
Oh, and you had me in tears when I read it, you know.
It was very powerful, but it was from the Lord, because every time it would be in the middle of the night, or it'd be, oh, I gotta type this out, and then I just, you know, put it all together. And so I know it wasn't from my own self, because in my own self I would want to be angry, you know. I
mean, who wouldn't want to be angry at that? You know, I was angry. I know that there were many times that, you know, I would drive around and it would just hit me. Because what happened to Tawny, I'd yell, stupid girl. Yeah. I mean, I would just yell that out because she was so loved, but didn't know how loved she was, you know? And she just didn't know how to receive love, I think is what it was. Folks, look at that. It's already the top of the hour. So you know what that means. We're gonna take a 1 minute break and we will be right back. We will continue on with Susie. If you have some questions, you can maybe put them up on the, let's see, put them up on the Facebook Live, or you can do the church thing. Okay.
KBXL, Caldwell, Boise, radio you can believe in. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Look Up airs every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2:30 to 3:30. Through Facebook Live, text, and phone, you can ask questions on what the Bible has to say about the real things that are going on in your life. If you'd like to text the Sassos, the number is 208-891-2635. The best way to have your question answered is to call the Sassos in the studio right now. That number is 208-377-3790. To learn more about Calvary Chapel Eagle, visit calvarychapeleagle.com. Now, here's Mike and Linda.
Hello. Well, it's just Linda today, but I do have two wonderful guests in the audience. I have Susie with me. I have Capri with me. Susie, yes. What else in your story do you need to finish before we get on to our kind of talking about other things that revolve around this topic?
Just getting through the first of everything, I think. That's been really, my kids that, my older kids, I have one that's a Marine, one that moved to Reno. I felt like I empty nested and lost a child in all the same year, and it was very difficult for me, but they all came home for Christmas. I bought them all, I did things in remembrance of my son. You know, the Crime Victims Compensation Program was wonderful and helped me pay for the funeral. And I was able to pick out a beautiful headstone in honor of him. And my daughter, there I am.
I'm not used to that camera. I'm sorry, folks. It's going all over the place here.
There's just a lot of emotions. Oops, I got it. There I am. Here. Okay. My emotions fly around. Our kids handle things differently. So if you've lost a child and you have other children, it's, you know, they've taken it out on me, so to speak, sometimes, and I know it's not them taking it out on me. But the birthday, Christmas was extremely difficult, but joyous at the same time. I did things for my children. Yeah. I wrote them each letters of how their brother thought of them, and I took them, you know, this was like a month and a half, probably 6 weeks after the accident. I wrote them all letters from kind of what their memories for each one and how much their brother loved them. And I read it to each of them, and I gave them each a little container of ashes. And we went to his favorite spot. And I just, it's been a year of trying to really help my children. What would I would have liked, you know, to help them through this process. Christmas was, you know, I was a puddle of tears for the most part, most of the year. Mm-hmm. I made it through Christmas, then it was his birthday, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. And I just was like, what do you do on a day? Okay, I'm going to do what Zach would have liked. So we did things that he eat and work out. So we went and worked out, and we ate, and try not to let those plans that you maybe have in your mind to do, because they failed. I'm like, I wanted lighted balloons. Okay, this was silly. So I wanted, and they didn't work that day. And the heavenversary date, I didn't really know what to do. And I had an army of friends that put a memorial ride on for me that I didn't even know about that was happening. So I'm really blessed that I've been surrounded with a lot of people. But I did want to have balloons at the moment he went to heaven. So I went out in 6:38 on Monday morning, and the neighbors came over to pray, and the balloons were deflated. So I wasn't, you know, I was like, oh, okay, there wasn't, okay,
it's okay.
It's okay. The balloons weren't supposed to happen. But we prayed and thanked the Lord for him. And just getting through those firsts are very difficult. And I feel like I've just, I mean, it's literally
just past it right now.
Just Monday.
And I'll tell you, the firsts were the hardest. The seconds were much easier to face, because you've already been there once. You've already done it. It's the unknown. I think sometimes it's the first time of anything, the first time talking to a person that you haven't talked to. Let me see. Let's turn it this way. Hi, everybody. I remember the first time going to my doctor. As soon as she walks into the office, I break down and start crying. You know, the same thing with my chiropractor. All of these things, the first time you talk to someone, you get past that first hug, then you're usually okay. Now, I know in your statement that you wrote your wishes for this young man that was a drunk driver. And I did see from the thing, he loses his license for 5 years. Yes. There are some other consequences. It never weighs out and can ever equal a life. But it's not just that he has this year rider. He has other consequences he's going to have to live with. And if he ever breaks that,
he goes and serves the rest of the three.
Okay. 3.5 years. You got it. You got it. Can you tell us some of the things
that I wish for him?
That you wish for him. And maybe the whys, because some parents, some people won't understand that.
I want this story. I want him to have a story. You know, I want him to have a story that God, that he sees how merciful and loving God was, that God spared him of something so much worse, and that he saw the compassion that the Lord gave me for him. I know that in reading the pre-sentence investigation report, that he didn't have a mom that loved him as, or didn't have the family that I've given my children. And I know that when I said, you know, and I don't know, you know, as a mom, my heart breaks for him. So my wishes were for him to have a story that he could, that his life would be changed forever, that there would be restoration in him, that he could come out of this and something beautiful would not just come out of my life and my children's life from this, but that something beautiful would come out of his life too, because that's ultimately what God wants is restoration.
Yeah.
And that's what I want for him. I would love to talk to him. You know, I want to write him a letter, you know, in, extension.
Contact?
He wouldn't even look at me.
Wow. Okay.
He has, and I'm sure, you know, he did say he was sorry at the court, but he didn't stand up and say he was sorry. And I just have to, be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel, I still have that compassion. I feel like I want to write him a letter in extension of that statement, because I really feel like that statement was directed towards him.
Yes.
Specifically, not just towards the judge. You know, the judge heard everything I had to say. But it was directed, I believe, solely towards him. And I believe the Lord supernaturally gave me a peace to be able to do that.
Very good. Okay, folks, those of you out in our listening audience, let's see if I can fix this at all, because I think my phone's sliding down and we're just, I'm making a mess here. Mike, come help me. So you have a job to do here. We need to pray for this young man. We need to pray for his salvation. We need to pray that he sees and recognizes that God intervened in a very ugly situation where he should have had very severe consequences, and he got off really easy. So let's all pray right now. Lord, we lift up this young man to you. You know him. You know his heart. Father, I pray by your Holy Spirit, you would speak to him right now. And even if perchance he ends up seeing this, Lord, let him know that you love him, that you intervened, that the consequences could have been so much worse. And there were could have been some people, a different family, that would have hated him and wished him to hell for his whole life, but not this family. This family wishes him to know salvation, to know your love, to go to heaven, to be with you, and to meet Zach face to face in heaven someday, that they could be there together. So, Father, we ask that you touch this young man's heart, that you just put Christian after Christian in front of him until he sees the message of how much you love him, that you died for him. Let him know that, Lord. And we're going to continue to pray for him. So, Father, we lift him up. We put him in your hands, and we pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Capri, you wanted to talk about some of the things of dealing with grief and dealing with people during grief, right? Because believe me, people need to know. Mike and I did a show of all the stupid things people say. And how it hurts, you know, like crazy. I'm going to try to get this camera on you. People in Facebook Live Land, I am so sorry I'm doing a lousy job, but at least it's going through, okay?
I think that Jesus has the best sense of humor ever, since I was doing yard work prior to this and had absolutely no idea there would be a visual. I have a favorite quote. One of my favorite quotes is that suffering is not a question that demands an answer, but it's a mystery that demands a presence. And I think that was so lived out in in the life of Jesus Christ, and it certainly has been lived out in this situation. I have had the privilege of being friends with Susie for a very long time and walking with our kiddos through the many challenges, and it has been nothing less than an honor to continue that journey. I think it's really powerful as believers to not instantly... We just lost the phone, folks. We just
That's
lost
okay.
the phone.
Okay, we're going to put it right back up here.
But that we, as believers, we do tend to sometimes want to make complicated things very simple. And this whole thing has not been simple. I love what Susie said earlier, is this God's sovereignty versus a shattered heart. Both of those things are true. And it has been really interesting to see how many people are angry that she is not angry. That's an interesting reaction, but I think it's a very typical one. This is not to discount anybody else's emotions or feelings, because we get to have moments of grief and rage if what may be. I mean, Paul says, take the thoughts captives, and you got to have them in order to capture it, right? Mm-hmm. But that big idea of the reason I believe in so many ways that we as believers are able to face things and then offer compassion is that we are able to recognize that both things are true. This situation was awful. It was horrible. It was a senseless tragedy. And the pain that I have watched this precious woman experience and have walked through, and I've been to the majority of all of the court cases, we've been involved, again, in ways none of us would have ever hoped to have had to be, that pain is real. It's not in any way, shape, or form not real, and that's why she's able to be so compassionate. Both things are true. So I would encourage anyone who is out there to really be willing to say whatever the feelings that someone is experiencing at the time when things happen, just walk with them. God is big enough. He's big enough to handle those questions. He's big enough to handle every single moment, every single tear. But he never tells you not to experience that pain and feeling. If anything, we have the example that Jesus did have all of those feelings himself.
Okay, some of the people have found our new feed because I switched it over to my iPad, and it's okay. We're sideways on here, people. You're gonna understand this one. It's just one of those crazy things that's going on today. Let's see if I flip it this way. Does it flip with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see if it flips with me that way, or if it's gonna put you upside down.
It's still, we're saying rotate your phone.
Well, there I am. Upside down.
Nope, you're good.
Which is where the plug goes. It looks okay to you, but it doesn't on the feed.
Oh, gotcha.
There we go. Okay. Here we go. Hey, folks, we're going to just do this the good old-fashioned way to get the rest of this done. Obviously, the enemy's not happy with what we're doing today, because we are talking about having mercy and grace and forgiveness, the same kind that was extended to us. You're extending. Can you reflect more on how can you forgive? Because that's some of what people can't understand.
Oh, gosh. It reminds me of the woman who washed Jesus' feet with her tears.
Okay.
I just, we forgive much because we've been forgiven much.
Yes.
I believe that I know, and I've experienced that forgiveness for myself. I'm human. I've made stupid mistakes, and I've felt very far away from the Lord, and I know that I can't have peace unless have that close relationship with him. One thing that Capri and I were talking about before we came in here that she reminded me of, and it was a compliment, so I'm just repeating kind of what she said, was from the very beginning, and my husband could attest to this if he's listening, I want to feel, you know, and I had 4 surgeries, so they gave me pain medication for those surgeries. I did not want to take any unless I absolutely had to, because I didn't want to not feel. And I don't know if that's, I know I can't get through it like labor, but I looked at it like when I was having babies, I just want to do whatever it takes to get the baby out. And it was a revelation this isn't going to be over. And this isn't going to be over in 9 months. I'm going to have days where I'm barely surviving and I'm going to cry a lot. And then there's going to be days like today where I feel like the Lord's made me stronger. You know, sometimes I feel like he numbs, anesthetizes me a little bit to give me a break. I mean, yes, I really feel like it's a grace that he gives me a break. So that forgiveness, I believe, is somewhat supernatural. Sometimes
of course
it's a
it
choice,
is.
But we right now I believe it's supernatural with me. I haven't had to try to have mercy for him. I haven't had to work it up. I haven't had to, gosh, this is what the Lord would want me to do. It just has been, it's washed over me like a flood for this particular person.
Wow.
And that's how I can explain it.
That is great. I mean, it's really hard, you know, when we come down to it, because I think, we're going to put it back around this way. I think we see and we feel so much hate in the world today, be it anywhere, you know, through different religions, all kinds of things, politics. We see hate all the time. And that makes it so hard because the world expects you to hate. Mm-hmm. Now, MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, mm-hmm. we're not very happy with this. And I noticed that went up on the page and you addressed it. Do you want to tell us anything about your connection, your relationship with them?
Oh, gosh. I addressed it similar to what I'm addressing it now. It's like I just introduced myself as I'm Zach's mom. And I don't remember exactly what I said, but to the gist of I want restoration for this person. Nothing's going to bring my son back.
Yeah.
You know, nothing is going to feel good. Nothing is going to bring him back. And it makes me very uncomfortable. The hate, the negativity, that makes me very uncomfortable. I don't like it. It makes me feel like I'm hurting more, if that makes sense. It puts pressure.
Yes, it does.
I don't like it when people, I think sometimes people think if they come alongside and think them telling us that they're mad will make us feel better, like they're on our side. It doesn't really make me feel better. It just is a reminder that it's another negative thing. My son's not here. I know that. I know he's not going to come back. I know he's in heaven, which is a positive thing. I know he's happy and whole, and I know all of those things, but he's not here. Yeah. You know, he was a mama's boy. He called me every day. What you doing, mom? I'm at work, honey. You know, just he would say the silliest things, you know. Well, can I come see you? And I don't get those anymore. You know, I don't get those texts anymore. I don't get those big hugs and can I just come and hang out, or can you make me a steak, or can you cook for me, or all of those things. I don't. So the negativity and the hate make me feel actually worse.
Yeah.
But I do think that, again, I'll just reiterate, I do think that there does need to be stricter consequences and laws. And I think that I do have a voice. But I wanted to also share before we are done that whatever child comes in my home, if I find out that there, I know my son, there was a situation where I needed to talk to a few parents, and I took them over to my son's picture and I told them, I said, I don't ever want any other family to ever experience what I'm having to experience. And I want you to know how much you're loved. Please don't drink and drive. Please don't think that you are invincible or drive under the influence of anything. Because there's more than just alcohol that you can drive, you know, that is at play these days. And so everybody that comes into my home or talks to me, that I'm going to tell them the story of what the Lord has done for me and how much it hurts, you know, because I don't want any other family to, not that I can stop everything, you know, that God's in charge, but I want to do my part to really
And that
be
can
his
be
instrument.
Your part. That can be one of your parts.
Yeah.
Now, Susie, I know you and Zach had some things you did together.
Yes, we like to work out. So this is, I don't know if you guys can see this. This is his arm. So a friend of mine, Brian, did this tattoo for me in remembrance of him. But he was always so proud of me. He he would show my pictures if I was in a bodybuilding competition. This is my mom, you know, he just was.
We're talking real bodybuilders, guys. This is not just we go to the gym and work out together. Yeah. These are real bodybuilders. Any pictures you put up of him, I mean, he is buffed as could be.
He's a buff kid. And he loved it. None of my other kids want to work out. I'm asked Gabe, and he's like, no, that's weird to work out with you, Mom. So I'm like, well, Zach didn't care. Well, that was Zach. So we loved to do that. And he just loved me to cook for him, and he loved to just come hang out. I mean, he just wanted to be where I was. I mean, there were brief times where he moved where his dad was, but he wanted to come back. He was my protector. God's my protector, but I mean, he wanted to be that protection, that big, okay, I got you, Mom, you know, if anything happens, I got you, you know, and I'm like, okay, buddy. But so those are things that we would do together. Hey, Mom, will you work out with me? And so that's what we do in remembrance of him, is we work out because.
And you know what? How wonderful with teenagers, young 20-year-olds, the relationships are very estranged in most homes. You're going to find that's such a difficult time. And maybe when they hit 30, they grow up and they realize, oh yeah, Mom was right. And then they kind of treat you nice again. How precious of the Lord to give you those. What a gift.
It is a gift. And like, looking back now, I can see how he orchestrated all of that for me, because I do treasure that. And there was one, and people who are friends with me on Facebook have seen this, but it's been a big weekend. So one of my silent wishes, prayers, and there was only one other person besides Capri that probably knew that, Lord, I would just like to do something in remembrance of him that he loved, which was bodybuilding and lifting, you know, lifting weights. Mm-hmm. And he never got to compete. He always wanted to. And somebody that I know, name is Joe Daly, and he just out of the blue called me and said, hey, Susie, I'm putting on a show and we want to dedicate. And I wanted it to be on the weekend of his heavenversary. Yeah. He didn't know. This was in January. He didn't know that was my prayer. He didn't know that was my wish. Oh. And he made a team, you know, trophy in remembrance of Zachary Spoelstra.
And I've seen it up on Facebook.
Yeah, so that's, you know, the Lord knows. The Lord knows those secret things that are going to help you through these things if you just lean into him. And I have to drown myself in worship music, and I listen to sermons. I listen to everything all day, because I wouldn't be able to survive without it.
That's what I was going to ask you next. How are you doing now? How do you keep yourself going?
So in the morning when I get ready, I'm listening to whatever may come up. It could be Joyce Meyer, Beth Moore, Stephen Furtick, you know, Tucker Mail. It could be, you know, whoever I, you know, or songs. There's certain songs, and I'll find a song, and it changes. And, you know, Stephen Curtis Chapman early on in my grief process was his songs, because he lost a daughter. His songs ministered to me, and I would just listen to the same one over and over and over again, and then it would change, and another one would just really speak to my heart. And I literally will just, when I'm working out, I'll just replay the same song. Right now, it's an Elevation of Worship song. You know, do it again. You know, the Lord's done it before. He's going to do it again. Yeah. You know, he's been there for me. He was there for me when I was in the closet. He was there for me when I lost my son. And he's going to be there for me.
Okay. And you know what? Okay. I agree with what Susie's saying here. I know the feeling where you have to immerse yourself in God's word, in worship, in all of that. But let me give you a heads up. Christian, don't wait till there's a tragedy to do it. Yeah. This is how we should be living our lives. Instead of wasting time doing stupid little things that don't amount to anything, don't wait for a tragedy to drive you to the cross. We need to live at the cross. We need to be there every day, every moment that we have. That's one thing at Calvary Chapel Eagle. We've been praying for revival. And that's the one thing the Lord's showing me. Then don't waste so much time. If you want your life to matter, don't waste time doing this or that. And we can excuse it like, oh, I'm so busy, which we are. I deserve, you know, my time off, which I do. But what I choose to do with that time off should be uplifting and edifying myself. If I'm watching, you know, depressing things,
I'm going to be depressed. Mm. But if I have that uplifting time, like you said, worship. Worship is one of those things that lifts us up, you know, above and beyond. Like, we got about a minute and a half left. You got any last words you would like to say?
I just have, the Lord's really encouraged me to reach out to other moms. I just have, there's been some close friends that have, another friend of mine's sister committed suicide. She was 13. I reached out to her mom. I just, wherever I go, I got a massage at the rec center. They were doing a little thing. I mentioned I lost my son. I just tried it. And she's like, well, I lost my brother. And I was like, well, how's your mama? And I just said, what's her name? And I said, I'm just tell her that she's got somebody that knows how she feels. Yeah. And I know how you feel because I've lost three brothers. And I gave her a hug and she started to cry. And I just try to encourage, share my story and encourage people along the way. And that fills my cup.
Yeah. I find that too, that the Lord uses it. You just have to be willing to mention it, become vulnerable, and the Lord will turn around and use it in the most unexpected places.
Yes.
So.
And I just want to thank everyone who's come alongside me and my family and my children and helped to lift me up. And I just, and I want to thank the Lord too, because obviously I wouldn't be sitting here if it weren't for Him.
Oh,
and
definitely.
Thank you for having me on here. And I just hope it blesses somebody.
Yeah.
That thinks they can't survive, that I've survived the unsurvivable.
Yeah.
And so have you.
Yeah, we have. We have. Let me tell you, folks, until you've lost someone, you don't know what it's like. So don't pretend that you do. And it's okay to say you don't understand how somebody's feeling. That's an okay thing to do, that if you haven't been there. But once you've been there, it's part of your life. Mm-hmm. You don't. I just put this thing on my Facebook page. I think it was yesterday. And it was about, I don't ever get over it. It becomes part of me. It's made me who I am now. So, well, folks, there is the music. This is the end of our show. Susie, thank you for being here. Capri, thank you for being here. When I put this up on the webpage, I will try to merge it together and make it one message instead of two. God bless you. Mike will be back with me tomorrow.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in His wonderful face. I want to grow dim, standing.